To support the show and to stay up to date with Initiative 48 Action, go to CoastalNoise.com, give us a like, subscribe on YouTube, or follow along on Twitter. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Coastal Noise Podcast. This is episode number 43. I don't have any announcements to make for this opening show, so we'll go ahead and get straight into it. If you do want to hear more podcasts, you can go to the CoastalNoise.com website and click on the podcast page. There we have all our episodes that are available. You can listen to them straight from the website or download them for your smartphone or MP3. We also have YouTube links that we put up usually about a day after the initial release where you can go and listen to the audio content there via YouTube. Also, be sure to check out any new updates that I've put for the blog page, the photography page, and I may be putting up some new tracks from some demos that I've been working on the music section as well. So, in this episode, I talk with Kelly Jacobs about her Initiative 48, which seeks to legalize all cultivation and use of cannabis, whether it be hemp, recreational, or medical marijuana. And we just talk about the different benefits and the economic change that it could bring to the state, along with what the rest of the country is doing with new marijuana policies. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. This is Coastal Noise Podcast, episode number 43. Enjoy. I imagine this initiative has been keeping you pretty busy these last couple of days, hasn't it?
The last few months, I've been very busy because writing it took up a lot of my time because I don't know anything about the law, I don't have any training, and I've never smoked cannabis, so I've had to get on a fast bike and pedal like mad.
Well, why on earth did you write the thing if you've Where did this all come about?
Well, the Mississippi Democratic Party asked the members, I'm a member, to propose ballot initiatives that would inspire Mississippians to turn out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing this for quite a while. And every time they asked, I would say, well, when I'm out there knocking on doors and talking to people, they want marijuana legalized.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody would chime in and say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And I had just suggested it at another meeting in September. And when I got home, I realized that all this waiting I've been doing for someone to write it, it wasn't bearing any fruit and that I had to be the writer. So I started a Facebook page called Legalize Marijuana in Mississippi. And I drew up the draft that I started making of the Colorado ballot initiative to change it to Mississippi, and then other Mississippians joined in, and a group called the Mississippi Alliance for Cannabis said, hey, we've been writing something, you can have what we have, and they gave me their 12 pages, of which was basically the Colorado initiative, but the words Colorado were removed and Mississippi was put in. And so we started with that. That was 12 pages. And then I just kept carving it up and until we just decided, well, we're just going to address the constitutional amendment portion because in Mississippi, when you have a ballot initiative, you have to copy every single page of the initiative. And I did not see us being able to successfully have a petition if everybody had to copy 12 pages and staple it together before they signed it. That was just too much paper.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely want something that's more mainlined and easier, more accessible for people, for sure. Can you tell people who haven't seen anything about it, just kind of what the initiative is and what your team seeks to do in getting it through to people?
Well, the ballot initiative makes two changes to the Constitution. The first change is to legalize cannabis so that it is regulated like alcohol. And So all forms of cannabis are legalized, whether it's medical or recreational or industrial hemp, which has also been lumped together as a form of cannabis, even though it doesn't have any THC properties in it. So if you smoke the leaves, you won't get high. Mm-hmm. But industrial hemp is a very important crop for Mississippi farmers because it comes to fruition within 100 days after being planted. And there are so many buyers for the crop. There are people who will buy it for the food, from the seeds. There are people who will buy the stalks for the fiber to make paper and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are customers who will buy it for oil to make plastics.
I understand, if I may, on the hemp aspect, it uses far less water and, grows very rapidly, is highly durable.
Not as many pesticides and herbicides.
Right.
That's an expense.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you compare it to cotton.
Yeah.
And that's actually what got it into so much trouble, is because at the time when it was outlawed for no good reason, there were a bunch of really rich people who were growing cotton or who had timber or who were selling petroleum products, and they were all threatened by people who were growing industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just got it all lumped together with marijuana or the higher THC, and got it outlawed, and there's no good reason for it. There's
mm-hmm.
no other country on planet Earth that does not allow their farmers to grow industrial hemp. Only the United States did that.
Yeah,
so we imported all of our food sources of industrial hemp from Canada and other places, and we could just be growing it here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's almost become legend in the marijuana community of William Randolph Hearst and his monopoly on the paper industry, and how hemp started coming along as a more effective, more efficient product, and instead of converting his own paper mills to produce hemp, it was cheaper for him to just run smear campaigns on hemp and marijuana. And of course, back then there was this all these kind of racial pulls of blacks and Hispanics getting white people to smoke it, and it, you know, then there was loco weed and all these kind of racial slurs that were tied in with it. And you know, like you said, there's no THC properties in hemp to get high from or anything like that. It's just a very effective textile and edible product. I mean, it's just all around just a very interesting kind of plant.
Yeah, it'll grow well in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
And his smear has lasted for 77 years, but now our neighbor, Tennessee, they have legalized industrial hemp. And last year in January, legalizing industrial hemp was considered by the Mississippi legislature, but it didn't get out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's going to happen is we have this ballot initiative that legalizes it. So I expect our legislature to panic because they don't want farmers helping us gather signatures and passing this. And I expect them to pass some sort of legalization for industrial hemp this year.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
They'll do it. They'll try and do what they can to diminish the support for this ballot initiative. And that's okay, because the people who will be helped are our farmers.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to help them with this initiative, you know, however we can get it there so that they're able to grow something that doesn't cost them as much money, that gives them a crop within, you know, a little over 3 months. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Their problems are going to be the federal government stopping all of this legislation they've done to prevent a farmer from getting seeds and stuff, you know, that's a problem. So, and having the crop seized, even though they said they won't do things, you know, we have to get the federal government to stop punishing Americans for a plant that doesn't have any victims.
And one thing that just did happen with the federal government is this allowance of medical marijuana, which was very under the radar. And I haven't heard many people talking about it, but it was probably just in the last month they decided the federal government was no longer going to persecute or make federally illegal states that had okayed medical marijuana in their own legislation. Now,
there's 23 states that have legalized medical marijuana, and they said that they won't prosecute in those states, but there was an article recently in Colorado how they went and raided a medical place anyway, so that's why, I mean, they got to be reined in. That's supposed to be our government.
Hmm. Now, you were saying there was a second component to you. There was the hemp, and then what else to the initiative?
Yes, the second component is the social justice part, which is if all of a sudden marijuana is legal in Mississippi, then it is legal because our government made a mistake. They made a huge mistake to make it illegal, and they were wrong, and we have to forgive them for being wrong. And we have to forgive the Mississippians by pardoning them, because the government never should have prosecuted them, and yet many of them are in jail, many of them are on parole, many of them have records so they can't work, they've been separated from their families, they've been denied their medicine, you know, for some of them they were taking medicine and then they were arrested. And so the second component is that we require that the governor of Mississippi pardon nonviolent cannabis offenders.
Yeah, because that would free up a lot of our prison systems. And I was listening to a radio program that was talking about how a lot of blacks are particularly the ones who were incarcerated for it, even though both Caucasians and African Americans have pretty much equal, what do you call, crime rates with marijuana or whatever, but yet it's African Americans that tend to show up most that are incarcerated in prisons.
That's right. And it's the government that chooses to do that. They're more likely to send the white defendants to drug court and fine them and have them be on probation. And the African Americans, 75% of our jails, it's my understanding, are filled with African Americans. That's a very disproportionate number.
No.
It's not right. And we can't fix everything, but I just felt that with this ballot initiative, I know life isn't fair, but I wanted the social justice. To me, this is a social justice issue. And we went through 47 drafts before we got to this final one, this ballot initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And the pardoning part was taken out of many of the drafts. And then I just decided, everybody says it'll never pass in Mississippi, so I might as well go for everything, and I put it back in there.
I think that's the right move. I mean, definitely to take that step towards that. And what people should know as well is that by taking those people out and freeing those spaces, we make room for people who actually commit violent crimes, and we're not paying taxes to house those people who are in prison for marijuana crimes.
Yes, it costs more than $15,000 a year to incarcerate a person. But we only spend about $8,000 a year to educate them, and our government has said that they don't have enough money to fully fund education. And so that's why they have not, that's why we have ballot initiative 42 coming up on the 2015 ballot, because Mississippians have gotten tired of the government saying we don't have enough money to fully fund education, but they have plenty of money to incarcerate the heck out of Mississippi. So if we empty the jails, it could be that we won't spend $200 million out of about $350 million we spend annually to incarcerate Mississippians, and that money could go instead to educating them so that they have better jobs.
Let's talk a little bit about the signatures that you actually have to gather. How many signatures are required? Before I know, you're looking for a time frame of August to October to get them submitted in for the 2016 ballot. Can you explain?
The ballot initiative process gives us 1 year to collect signatures. However, if we want to appear on the 2016 ballot, the presidential ballot, we have a deadline of October the 2nd that we have to hit. And the October 2nd deadline means that I personally, as the sponsor of the ballot, I have to hand in all of the signatures with a check for $500 together to the Secretary of State's office no later than October the 2nd. In order for that to happen, all of the 82 circuit clerks in the state of Mississippi have to certify the petition signatures that they receive. If they can read them, if they're printed properly, if they're written in black ink, if everybody is registered to vote on them, they have to certify them, and then I have to get those certifications. So from my perspective, I need your listeners, Stefan, to get on their own bikes and to gather signatures on our legal Secretary of State issued petition and get them submitted now to their local circuit clerks, because in August we have statewide primary elections, and usually we have runoff elections after that. Mm-hmm. And the circuit clerks are not going to have time to go through thousands of signatures and certify their elections. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get everybody to gather signatures and go hard and get it done and by no later than July. Mm-hmm. So that we can look and see how many signatures we have, because the ballot initiative process requires that we gather a minimum of 21,443 signatures from 5 different areas of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if we gather 80,000 signatures from District 5, we cannot use the overage in any other area. So each area has to have a minimum of 21,443 certified signatures. If the circuit clerk gets your petition and can't read them, she rejects signatures. And he or she issues a paper with the petition that says how many signatures they certified. So by August, I need to be looking at how many signatures I have from what area to see if which areas have met the burden and which areas haven't. So then we can be using August and September to go hit District 2, which is my weakest area. I have more than 600 volunteers statewide right now out collecting signatures, whether they're doing a couple or a lot. And Area 2, which is mostly the Delta, that's the area I have the least number of signatures. And so I'm going to be asking people to help go over to Area 2 and find some registered voters over there so that we have enough signatures from all 5 areas, because if one area fails, the entire ballot initiative fails.
Well, I have to brag a little bit about my area. I don't think you're going to have any problem from our people down here, here on the coast. I've been looking at y'all's maps that y'all publish every now and then, and our area, Harrison County and Jackson County, are some of the most volunteers that you have in the air from what I've seen. So
that's right.
Yep. So
and I'll be asking them, please go over to District 2.
now do you know, this is one thing I've been trying to do research on. Now there is a little over 3 million people that reside in Mississippi. Do you know in each district what the population is for each area?
Well, we have the census, the last census in 2010, and the census puts up figures, and it will put up figures based upon congressional districts. And for the purpose of a ballot initiative, we are not divided into congressional districts, even though on the petition it says congressional district, which is very confusing to voters.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing on their voter registration card that says, hey, Jackson, Harrison County, you are no longer in congressional district 4. You are actually in congressional district 5. Mm-hmm. And that's because when the ballot initiative process was added to the Constitution, we had 5 congressional districts. So I don't know, I can't answer your question about the populations, because there is no document that would divide Mississippi in those 5 districts, because they're only used for the ballot initiative petition and possibly for a judicial race.
Okay.
But Katrina significantly, changed the population along the coast, and poor jobs and depression has caused a lot of urban flight, and that's why we left. Went down. We used to have a sufficient population to have 5 congressional districts, and our population not growing the same as the rest of the nation is what caused us to lose 1 congressional district.
I see. What other challenges have you had to face to get to the process to where it is now?
Oh, because I have not found the government to be easy to work with. To ask questions is to be told that you have to find an attorney. And no Mississippi attorney has been willing to help. None. I've asked over 30, and some have said, oh, yes, just send me what you have, you know, and I'll help out. And then nothing from them. Mm. And that's been very frustrating because this is a legal question. I wanted to be proud of the work so that it's well written, because the nation's going to look at it. Mississippi is the first state in the South that is trying to legalize every aspect of cannabis, which is really how it should be, because our American Constitution does not prohibit a plant, and our Mississippi Constitution doesn't prohibit a plant. So really, like Colorado, they're writing restrictions on a plant, even though we look at it as legalizing. Mm-hmm. And Mississippi, what we're writing is we are proposing how we are going to regulate it. We're acknowledging with this ballot initiative petition that this is a substance that Mississippians use, like tobacco or alcohol, and we're going to regulate it like alcohol, so that it's not available for minors, but it is available for adults. And adults can choose not to use it, not to buy it, or they can choose to buy it, and it's nobody's business, just like alcohol. And trying to write something without any training, and that's what I was doing, so that it could be, it could hold up and actually be what I hope it'll be, is a very large fear, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what people get hung up on a lot is this, oh, what about the children ordeal? But when you regulate something like this, wouldn't you say that it would be a better, more controlled environment for kids to, you know, not be able to get it? Just like, you know, if you have alcohol, you have to have an ID, you have to go have people, you know, of age to go get it and all these kinds of things. Whereas if it was illegal, you can just go to anybody, a drug dealer or anything else like that, somebody who just has it, and they're, you know, they don't care about an age, and it goes to them, the money goes to drug lords, which, you know, if they're into other heavier things, they might sell kids on other things because that's just more profit for them. And then you don't have any tax kickback. You don't have it going to the state for schools, roadways, better, more jobs for people, all those kinds of things. It just, there's no money to be had for the people, the residents of Mississippi. And then it seems like it would actually make it more accessible for kids to get a hold of it. And I think what we're seeing in Colorado and other states, that even if it's just medical, I don't think any statistics are showing that a huge increase in teenage use has gone up or anything like that.
Yes, I agree with you. I just saw an article out of Colorado that said that the use from minors has flatlined. And that is one point that it was very hard for me to leave out of the ballot initiative, as I really wanted to make it illegal for people under the age of 21 to use tobacco. Because that's how it is with marijuana. It's illegal under the age of 21. And statistics have shown that if you can prevent children and young adults from smoking until they're 21 years of age, they're less likely to smoke. And we know that smoking can cause cancer, and that cancer is treated by cannabis. So all of your listeners who smoke, they should be signing this ballot initiative petition and voting for it, because they might need a lawful way to get cannabis to assist them if their tobacco use leads to cancer. But the point is that in Mississippi, we allow young adults 18 years of age to use tobacco. But this ballot initiative says you have to be 21. And yes, I agree with you that there's all kinds of people who say the children, but this ballot initiative doesn't have anything to do with children. It just discusses what happens with adults who want to make a decision to use it. And it's up to other adults who have children to try and do their best to keep them away from alcohol and from tobacco and from anything they don't want them to use for whatever reason.
I'd like to talk a little bit about some more of the statistics that Colorado specifically has showed up, seeing as how they're kind of the laying the groundwork for a lot of this stuff. And I love Colorado. Before even the marijuana thing was going through, I've been there three times in the last 3 years, and I just got back a couple weeks ago. And of course, now this past time that I went, the marijuana thing is in full effect, and I got to speak with the people. And you can, you know, you walk around Denver and you can see the actual shops, and you go in and it's these, you know, the place that I saw, I only stopped into one place, but it, you know, mahogany wood floors, leather chairs. You've got your man in a business suit over here. You've got your skateboarder. You've got your grandma. excuse me. They check your ID. They bring you back through another locked door to where it's another area, very nice, with television screens, listing prices and all these kinds of things, glass cases with different products and all these kinds of things. It seems like people there they know how to treat it. They know that what people don't want to see when they come into a store. And I think they're getting away from that stereotypical kind of thing. So for this past year, some of the things I just want to mention here is, for example, $247 million brought in total from recreational marijuana sales from January to October. You have $326 million total from medical marijuana sales from January to October, which equals out to be around $573 billion total in sales in only 10 months of this past year, with $60 million being taxes, coming from taxes, licenses, and fees on recreational and medical marijuana. Do you think do you think those numbers will speak to politicians of Mississippi when they look to legislative actions such as the ones you're seeking?
Oh,
I mean, it would have to, wouldn't it? The numbers.
I found that politics is seldom logical. Otherwise, why are we in this predicament that we're in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if logic had something to do with it, then the government would have said, we're not going to make it illegal because there's no victim. Mm-hmm. There is no victim. You know, they made alcohol illegal, and then they legalized it again. And alcohol has all kinds of victims. Just look on Halloween, a couple of kids are killed every year by drunk drivers.
Whereas,
and we still don't have victims from cannabis, and yet here you and I sit trying to talk about legalizing things in Mississippi, and the money has always been there. It has always been illegal money going in some mysterious place and not into the treasury of the poorest state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi could have legalized this, you know, right back when they started decriminalizing it, but they've been afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what you just said about the kids and dying in Halloween and all this, this was just an interesting side note that I found. That I just love this. It says the Denver authorities say they received no reports of kids accidentally eating pot-laced candies this past Halloween.
There's just all kinds of people who throw out the spookiness of it all, the boogeyman factor, the gateway factor. It's just, all I ask is that we have an adult conversation about this. And in Florida, when they tried to legalize it for the medicinal properties last year,
and missed by 2%.
They had commercials going on about how there'd be drug sellers on every corner. And I thought, well, heck, they have convenience stores on every corner, and that means they're selling alcohol and tobacco on every corner.
The
you know,
worst,
do the same thing.
One of the hardest drugs there is out there. Yeah. One of the hardest drugs out there, and we have liquor stores and tobacco stores abound everywhere. And they're probably, alcohol especially, is probably one of the major contributors to the factor of crime that we have. Which, going back with more additional statistics from Colorado of crime, from the first 3 months of the year, homicide went down 53%. Automobiles automobile thefts down 36%. Sexual assault down 14%, and violent and property crimes are down 10%. Now, I think it's fair to say that that doesn't mean that the legalization of marijuana dropped those crime rates, but it also shows that the people who were fuming, saying that this was going to raise crime, it didn't happen. Because you haven't...
Yes, I think that, that the history of humanity in the United States has shown that Americans like to use something to calm them down, whether they use tobacco, or whether they use alcohol, or whether they want to risk getting arrested by using cannabis. And the fact of the matter is that here in Mississippi, you have your choice of neighbors, and when they come home, would you rather have them, and they're upset about work, would you rather have them drink alcohol with all their guns, or would you rather have them smoke cannabis? Because I would rather they smoke cannabis because I understand that they'll giggle and then they'll eat salt flakes, you know, instead of getting in their car and driving. And, you know, I just feel like cannabis is a better alternative. And a lot of people, I think this is what Colorado is showing with their statistics, a lot of people, instead of reaching for alcohol to, you know, get over their stress, they'll reach for the cannabis, and it just does not bring out the violent tendencies. It also isn't as addictive. It isn't hard on your liver. And it has. Dr. Gupta says that cannabis has. He could not find it leading to anyone's death by smoking it. So, you know, there's a lot of people who die from alcohol, and it's just a healthier choice if you want to have a vice.
They have statistics are showing that annually in America we have 500,000 people dying from tobacco use. We have 100,000 dying from alcohol use. It's hard to find some marijuana deaths out there. It really is. I've tried looking.
Yes, it is. That's why I said, you know, that we just don't have victims. We have lots of people in jail, and some of them in jail for the rest of their lives in Mississippi, because of the great amount of cannabis that they were caught with, and yet there was no victim, unlike other, you know, horrible crimes that happen that have victims. So I just think that Mississippi would benefit so much by being forgiving and pardoning nonviolent cannabis offenses. And I hope we're going to talk somewhat about the medicinal, because I know how your listeners are, Stefan. They're out there saying, get to the medical properties. I have cancer. I have Alzheimer's, I have PTSD. You're not talking about the medicinal quality.
Yeah, and I think, and it's funny, you were talking about how society is, you know, that we're seeing this change. Gallup poll from 2014 asking, do you think marijuana should be legal? Just under 60% are saying yes, and I think a lot of that is to do with the medical aspect, because I think a lot of people recently have had experiences where maybe loved ones or close friends are hospitalized, whether it be cancer or another ailment of some sort that's severe, and more those patients are requesting, most likely from their families or just anybody they can get it from, to use medical marijuana to help them. And I personally have had people that I've been close to who had cancer who asked for it. And the transformation, the difference between going through chemo and then to giving them, providing them with medical marijuana, and their appetite comes around, they feel better, there's less pain. I mean, I hear these stories more and more and more, and I'm sure you're the same way. And it's really those people, they should be the ones that we're thinking of first before the recreational thing. You're absolutely right.
Yes, and the thing that makes this entire argument so hypocritical with the government is that our federal government has a patent on cannabis, a medical patent that they collect royalties from a pharmaceutical company. So on one hand, they say that marijuana has no medicinal values and it's a Schedule I drug, and they don't allow universities to study or experiment with it or to advance our medical science with cannabis. They prohibited it. And on the other hand, they went and studied it and got a patent on it. And in their paperwork, they had to list the medicinal qualities that it had so that they could get that patent and they collect those royalties. So the pendulum is swinging, and the federal government is going to have to back down because they are the biggest hypocrites on our soil.
Of course. I mean, you know, it's, I personally think they're just holding off on it in attempts to, they're just trying to hold it and keep it at the status it is now until that they can figure out a way that it, to make it profitable for themselves, whether it be through patents or a delivery method of some sort that only you can get it from them. Because truth be told, if medical marijuana is this great substance that does all these things for people and you can grow it yourself and it has all these different treatments that, you know, it would kind of put a pretty big damper on the pharmaceutical industry, which profits tens of millions every year. You know, if you don't have to go to them, you can just go to your backyard or whoever else. You know, you can see where the problem arises.
People are looking at, they've been reaching for OxyContin and these other drugs that are prescribed to them, and they're finding the side effects and the price and what actually happens to them to be unpalatable. And they're getting on the internet and they're reading that cannabis can give them relief from their pain, and they want to try it. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want, you know, they want to try and get relief from brain cancer, but they don't want to be a criminal, so they're not even able to try it. And mm-hmm. Mississippi has got to see that this is worth trying. You know, if legalizing marijuana is a mistake, we can always go back and make it illegal again. But let's make it legal now, and let's see how we can show the nation that you can grow a crop that adults can handle, a plant that has medicinal values just fine, and we'll have some rules on what you can and cannot do with it, but we're going to stop incarcerating people, and we're especially going to stop people who want a medicine from having it and using it.
Mm-hmm. And my take on it is this, okay? We're seeing a clear change in the country in regards to medical and recreational and industrial hemp. A clear change, like you said, 23 states are already medical. There's a, we've got the four states that have gone totally legal. We have a slew of states who are working on legislation for the 2016 ballots to, whether it be legalization or medical, all these kinds of things. We're seeing these Gallup polls where over half the country is saying yes to it. It seems like it's you know, and I think a lot of this has been spurred on by the internet, and this was a huge jump. I mean, this happened, it seems like, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years that it just been gaining huge traction. When they legalized it in Colorado, everybody seemed to just start talking about it. You know, beforehand, it was like nobody even talked about it. But then you went to work the next day, and all your coworkers are all of a sudden talking about it. You've got your, you know, your older ladies and your older men, and then you've got the younger people who are in their 20s or so. And it just, there's this conversation that's all of a sudden happening across the board. And, you know, we still don't have a southern state who's on board with it. And we're consistently ranked, you know, the lowest in education, the most poverty, but yet we still continue to do the same things that we do in and out every year and think that we'll just get better because for whatever reason, we'll just trust our politics is because they've done us so well or whatever. But if we would take initiative and, you know, to me, it doesn't seem that radical, and I'm sure it doesn't seem that radical to you and a lot of other people, but, you know, if we would just do it, and like you say, we could change it, we could go back, it's kind of like a haircut, it'll grow back. If we don't want it to happen, we can take it away or whatever. But if we do it, and do it now, before the rest of the country jumps on it, if Mississippi did it first, we could turn the state around, potentially, and, you know, we would be the first one to do it. We have great climate for it. We used to grow tons of marijuana here in Mississippi, you know, in past centuries. And we have the Old Miss place that's been growing it for medical purposes for I don't even know how long. I want to say it's like the 60s or something. You know, the tourism, the whole thing. I mean, it would be a game changer, I think, for us.
And allowing people to get work so that they could support themselves also is a game changer. So people could grow something and set up a business, a private smoke club, for example. Like I was asked by someone with the Choctaw Nation, because the government ruled that they did not have the right to go and prohibit marijuana from being sold on Native American land.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked me, what do I think that they could do to make money with this? And I said, well, I think you should set up a smoke club so that people have to join with a membership. They could come to your business there, and they could smoke cannabis. They consume it all there, have a restaurant also so they could eat. Mm-hmm. And then when they leave, they don't have any product on them, but I said, I think that would, you know, right now in 2015, that would be a good business for you. And he liked that idea. So maybe we'll see something like that coming from them.
Yeah, or maybe movie theaters, you know? People love watching movies and smoking weed.
Well, there's, in many places, there's no smoking ordinances. But if you have a private club, that usually gets around if it has a membership.
And the private clubs. Now, When you let's say that you get all the signatures that you need, okay, and it goes in, what happens then? Whose hands is it in? I understand that on the 2016 ballot, we will then have a question saying, do you think marijuana and industrial hemp should be legal for those over the age of 21? If people were to vote, let's say, in the range of...
Over the age of 21.
Over the age of 21.
Under.
Did I? Oh, excuse me. But let's say that we get about 40 to 60% of people who vote yes, a significant amount. You know, if it was over half, that would be even more significant. But even, I think, 40%, you know, shouldn't be too terribly difficult for people to vote on. But let's just say in the range of 40 to 60%. What happens then? Whose hands is it in after that?
I'm not sure if you're talking about the petition process or the voting. So I'm going to talk to you about the petition process, because yesterday there was an article about how the Secretary of State, Gilbert Hoseman, just said that Ballot Initiative 42 has been certified, that they handed in the number of required certified signatures, and it will appear on the 2015 ballot.
And that's for what now?
So that's exactly what would happen with us, because they turned their paperwork in October, and mm-hmm. now they had to wait all the way until January to be informed whether or not they would be on the ballot in 2015. So that's what would happen to us if we get all the signatures we need by October 2nd. If we don't get the signatures we need by October 2nd, we have until December the 29th to gather more signatures, but then our initiative would not appear until the 2017 ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Well, what I'm wondering is the voting aspect of the ballot itself in 2016.
Okay. So then the voting aspect of a ballot initiative is different than a candidate. Mm-hmm. So in Mississippi, the ballot initiative, not only does it have to win getting 50% of the vote, so if there are 100 people voting, it has to get 51 votes
okay.
so that it wins, but it must also receive more than 40% of all of the votes cast. And that's because a lot of people, this will be a presidential election year, a lot of people, they only vote for the president and they don't vote for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they don't go and vote for the ballot initiative, and we only have a 20% participation on the ballot initiative, even though we win with 50% of the vote, we could lose if only 20% of the people go and vote on it.
I see. Okay. And then, now, does it, if we did get over 50 and, you know, we got everything we needed, would that automatically bring it into law, or does it go to Congress and they...
No. So what it does is it automatically amends the Mississippi Constitution.
Okay.
And then what we wrote in there is we gave our Mississippi legislature so many days from that amendment for them to change the laws so that because once we change the Constitution, then we have a bunch of laws that are unconstitutional. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go through and they have to rewrite all the Mississippi Code, and we have told them that they have to change it so that the penalty is less than or no greater than the penalty for alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That is their guideline. So right now, if you have a spill of alcohol and you're caught making moonshine, you're fined.
Mm-hmm.
And marijuana, if you are growing marijuana and you have more than 11 pounds, you go to jail for life.
Now, while y'all are gathering up signatures, will you be posting any kind of quarterly or biannual signature counts by chance?
Yeah, we're going to do our best with that. I've asked people, first of all, to volunteer. I asked them to send me their name, their county, and their telephone number to my email address, which is kellitaj@aol.com. And then I put them together on a list, and I email people with our different strategies of stuff that we're doing. And that's how we came up with the map that you were talking about of how many volunteers we have. And then I have asked for volunteers to agree to be a county liaison for me with their county. So right now I think I have 37 county liaisons out of the 82 counties so that they can go and talk to the circuit clerk and let me know how are things going there, how many certified signatures do we have. I've also asked people who are collecting signatures that when they hand them in to let me know how many they handed in. Now, they could hand in 100, but that doesn't mean that all 100 will be certified, because if people find a ballot initiative and they're not registered to vote, their signature is rejected. If they sign it and they've already signed it, their second signing is rejected. So there's lots of rules that could cause people to have their signatures rejected. So we're going to do our best to try and see how we're doing, because we want to be successful, and I expect your neighborhood down there to District 5, I expect you guys to have it all done by March.
Mm-hmm.
I expect you guys to have it done.
That's my people.
And the rest of us will be struggling along to try and get the signatures. But, you know, I didn't do this to just toss it to the woods and let whatever happen to it. So we're going to do our best to see how it's doing. But a lot of it is just outside of our control.
Mm-hmm. Besides getting with you to get on volunteers list and all these kinds of things, how can people get involved to help the cause?
Well, I've asked the volunteers to start scheduling town hall meetings. I told them it doesn't matter if somebody else already has one scheduled, because no matter when you hold a town hall meeting, people can't come. And a town hall meeting allows the community access not only to the ballot initiative permit petition so that they can come and sign it and they can get copies of it, but it also allows them to sit down and listen to somebody talk about what they think the ballot initiative will do and to answer questions that they have. And I think town hall meetings are very important, and they have to be held by people who live there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to see your neighbor up there talking about why they need to use medical cannabis, and they want all of you to make it lawful for them to treat their cancer with it. And so then they find a petition to get it on the ballot initiative. They don't want to have, you know, somebody they've never heard of or seen come and tell them why they should do something. So town hall meetings are very important, and social media is a huge weapon, because it allows us to talk even if the press doesn't want to talk about our ballot initiative. It allows us to talk to each other and share what it says and what we think it will do. And it allows us to share a voter registration form, because a lot of people now are coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, I support this. How do I get registered to vote? They have no idea how to register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to have a conversation to all people that you have to register to vote. You go to your circuit clerk's office, and you get the form, and you register to vote right there. And you cannot sign my petition until you go and do that. And people who want to help, then you've got to download a copy of the petition. It should be available. We've only had it for a few days, and the webmaster at MississippiForCannabis.org, that's F-O-R, cannabis.org, he's been on vacation, so I'm hoping that he'll be back this coming week, and he'll be able to put the ballot initiative petition up on his website. It's on my Facebook page, Mississippi for... Let me see what I call it. I'm forgetting my Facebook page. But anyway, I email it out. I have it on the Facebook page. And it'll become more and more available the longer that we've had it. But we've had our petition now less than a week, so we don't have it all set up. But people can download the petition at home on legal paper, sign it, and mail it in. It's okay if it just has one signature. And that's the biggest thing that people can do to help is be a registered voter and sign our petition.
Is the website, is the Mississippi Alliance for Cannabis, is that the one?
No. That is a group that helped me, but I am not the Mississippi Alliance for Cannabis. They already knew about cannabis, so they were telling my Facebook page is Legalized Marijuana for Mississippi.
Okay, good. I'll have
and
to look
at it. It's confusing because there's like four of them with the same name.
Yeah.
So mine is the one that has a big... The sign right now says plan a town hall meeting on it.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, is there anywhere else that you would tell people to go for them to learn more or to follow along so that they can stay up to date with what you guys are doing or just for more information about how and get involved? I think you covered it pretty well, but if there's anything else you'd like to add?
You have given... just so much information. It's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you very much. I think that we've covered everything. I have so much email coming in. I try and answer everybody's inquiries, but I cannot answer specific inquiries about cannabis. Some people ask me some, you know, very technical questions about cannabis, and I don't know.
It's made life on the farm a lot more interesting, huh? Well, Miss Kelly Jacobs, I appreciate you talking to us, and I really admire what you're doing. I think it's impressive stuff, and I've been following for a long time, and I'm just amazed with the level of dedication and the legitimacy that y'all have brought to what it is you're doing, whether it's been you directly or anybody who has kind of affiliated themselves with you to your movement.
Team Legalize. I call them Team Legalize.
Heck yeah. And we're going to push for it. And if it doesn't happen this time, like I said, it's only a matter of time. I just hope that our state will jump on it now and reap the benefits from it instead of once again being last to it when all, you know, the wells kind of run dry on it. So
well, we're going to try and kick it in gear this coming Friday, January the 9th, by having a town hall meeting in Jackson.
Okay.
Right now they're trying to find out if we can use the library or the city hall, but I'm going to try and show people that you can go and do a town hall meeting, even if it isn't your county. I'm going to go down there and just do it.
Hell yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, if people want to have information and they want to get their hands on the petition, and I want them to get their hands on the petition so they can sign it, so...
And speaking of Jackson, I think I saw somewhere, I believe it was on the Alliance for Cannabis, that there's going to be a 420 rally at Jackson this coming year for the 420 event. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, David's putting that together. He told me, he sent me an instant message, and he said, Kelly, some people are mad at me. They don't want me to do this. And I said, you know, this is a Mississippi initiative. I am not on the ballot, thank God. I am not running for office. You don't need my permission. This is our initiative. This is Mississippi's initiative. Mississippians can do as little or as much as they want. I said, you volunteer to do what you like to do, how you want to do it. My biggest fear is the money, because you've heard me. I haven't asked for anybody to donate any money. I'm having the Mississippi Alliance for Cannabis. If they want to raise money, that's up to them. And the money can just be such a problem. I said, if anybody spends money or raises money to print petitions or to have their to have an event or something, they have to let me know, because the law says I must, no later than the 10th of every month, I must make a report on how much money is spent and where it comes from on this ballot initiative. And so I need people to tell me what they're spending. And so that is a big thing that we didn't talk about. But I really need people to let me know through the email what they spent so that I can declare it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a grassroots or a grassroots program, and I just think if Mississippi doesn't want it, then it won't be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It won't. If Mississippi wants it, then Mississippians will find a way to copy the petition, to go to where the petition is, and to sign it. And mm-hmm. Mississippi will make it happen. And I really think that that is where Mississippi is right now, that they are tired. They've been seeing cannabis smoked and people arrested for decades now, and they're tired of it. And mm-hmm. I just think that they are going to show up, and they're going to sign the petition, and they're going to vote to legalize it. I really do.
Yeah, and I think that's a testimony to the attitudes nowadays as well. Even if money is not in abundance to make it happen, the fact that people will go out and that they get, you know, very passionate about it, I don't see anything that people get as passionate about nowadays, it seems like, as what has happened with recreational and medical marijuana in the country. Just seeing what it's done for people to get together, to come together and do something. I don't know anything else like it. And I think that there's a good chance that we may see something like that happening in Mississippi. And like you've said, that you've been getting bombarded with emails, and already in these just past couple days, I've been hearing people talking about the initiative becoming more visible and all these kinds of things. So we just got to make sure we get those people out in the rural areas and like the Delta, like you said, and make sure we get folks out of the woodworks where it's going to be a little tougher, you know, whether, I don't know if they just don't have internet there or what's going on, but
that's what I think it is.
Well, Ms. Jacobs, once again, I appreciate very much you talking with us, and this is exciting stuff. I hope it pans out, and I'm going to be following along very closely for the next couple months.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being invited onto your show.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
And hello, all your listeners. Thank you for listening to Stefan's show.
And I thank you as well. If anybody else wants to go to hear more podcast episodes, you can go to coastalnoise.com, click on the podcast page, and all the episodes are available to you there. You guys go out and click on some links. I'm going to put up some links. You guys can follow along and go check out all these different sites. You can learn more and also stay up to date. Get yourself some knowledge on the regular. So until next time, goodbye, goodbye.